But given the way Topher jumped and swung his wide-eyed gaze away from the window, you'd have thought I'd forcibly dragged him back into his physical body from the spirit realm. Was this all an elaborate act to guilt the parent figure of the vehicle, also known as me, into taking pity on him and not driving him to the airport? Snorting, I turned off the music. Amateur hour. Nonetheless, I chatted on like the professional I was. I hear the Getty Museum is outstanding. Have you ever been? He pulled the oversized hood of his sweatshirt up, throwing his face into shadow.
No.
Crushed by his stellar conversation skills, I finished my now cold beverage and settled in for 120 minutes of my life that I would never get back. In my head, I made a new to-do list consisting of one item: get Twitchy safely bundled onto the plane as soon as possible, at which point he'd become the flight staff's problem. The sour stench of sweat overwhelmed the car. I didn't want to embarrass him, but I wanted to be trapped in a small space with bad smells even less. "Do you need water or medical attention?" I said.
"Picked a bad time to quit smoking," he muttered.
"Smoking what, though?" He pulled a package of lifesavers out of his pocket and tossed a green one in his mouth. The most disgusting flavor and another strike against him. He offered me the last candy, an orange one.
"Want it?"
I subtracted one point off his douchiness and accepted. "Thanks." Nodding absently, he dropped the empty packaging in the cup holder. I ground my candy to orange-flavored dust. "Why, yes, I'd love to clean up after you." The rain sluiced down under a dark sky, and my wipers worked double time in a brisk staccato. I slowed down on account of the weather, so when a speeding car came up behind me, I flicked on my signal and moved into the right-hand lane to allow the driver to blast ahead and roar around the curve. I shook my head at his reckless driving, then checked on my passenger, still slumped in the seat, staring out the window. At least my butt was toasty warm. Suddenly, there was a deafening bang and a blinding flash of light that made me see spots. I couldn't even tell what side of the car it was on or where we were on the road, just that we were going 60 miles per hour and fishtailing. I yelped and jerked the wheel against the onslaught of G-forces, fighting to avoid a spin. I was really starting to regret signing up for book club and not upper body toning or Pilates. With one last Herculean burst of effort, my weak noodle arms wrenched the SUV back into our lane. My eyes still wept out a stream of tears from the bright light, and my ears rang a bit, but we were okay. We'd made it. I did a small fist pump. Years of defensive driving in Vancouver had paid off. Topher had lost his sunglasses in the scuffle, and his eyes were wide with shock.
"What was that?"
I shook my head. "I don't know. Maybe a transformer blew? Sometimes that..." But whatever small talk I was going to make, Topher would never hear, because that was when a second blast sent us careening on the wet road. As the car hydroplaned, I went into emergency mode. Get to safety, don't lock the brakes, can't see. Topher breathed rapidly, terrified like a little kid before opening night of their second grade drama production. "Hang on!" Furiously pumping the brakes, I steered away from the telephone pole dead ahead, but the car had taken on its own skidding momentum. Topher threw his arm up over his face. My hands on the wheel felt oddly disconnected, stuck in an unfamiliar sluggishness. Time sagged, and I let out a breath, feeling like I was sinking into a sea of molasses, already a ghost. The world sharpened into a crystal-hard spike of pointlessness. There was no to-do list, no problem-solving, and no multitasking that could save us now. We bumped onto the shoulder of the road and smashed into the pole. My neck snapped forward, my head hit the airbag, and I blacked out.